Let us exalt his name together. Amen. Amen. So let's stay seated, and we're going to be blessed by a piece from the choir, and then we'll go into our worship together with hymns.
I learned a lot of practical lessons growing up, and as I've gotten older, I've forgotten most of them. And so I keep making the same mistake over and over again. I was reminded this week of Newton's third law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But I learned the hard way. I'm not very smart. I'm like a donkey. You have to hit me right between the eyes. So I decided yesterday, my wife was somewhere, and I would go out and wash my car. And it was 50-some degrees in Parkersburg, so I went to my neighborhood car wash, not thinking. It wasn't a mile long, but there was ice on the floor, so I went in and put my money in the thing and turned it on. And when I turned the sprayer on, there was an action, and I was the opposite equal reaction. And I either felt like Jose Greco or someone ice skating. So finally I crawled back to my car, got a hold of the door handles, pulled myself up, straightened myself out, finished washing my car. I'm tight. I won't waste a quarter. Finished washing my car, put that wand back, drove home, took off all my wet clothes and put them in the laundry room. And my wife comes home and she goes, "What's all these wet clothes?" I said, "Newton's third law." And, of course, she has 2 degrees in science, so she knew exactly what it was. It's my law, just being stupid. But, you know, we forget sometimes there's reactions to everything we do or we don't do. And that's very important to learn. And it's also very important to share. So I want you to share for a moment. I need to get your little microphone-y thingy, don't I? Okay, let's take a moment and go to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day and this opportunity. Sometimes we take worship and prayer and praise for granted, and we forget that it's a privilege, it's a gift, it's something we need to know and understand, it's something that we need to glory in. Father, we thank you for this time today, a chance to be with you and be with our friends, because it's in relationships that we really see the presence of God. It's in relationships when we see people's lives changed. And we just ask that in the hour ahead, you'll reveal to us not only your will, but you'll inspire us by your Holy Spirit to do that will. Now come and walk among these wonderful folks here at St. Albans and help them as they search for a new pastor. Lead them in a righteous way, in a good way, in a powerful way, in an exciting way. That truly in the hours and days and months ahead, not only will your will be understood, but your power will be seen. We thank you for the miracles that we know about, but also we thank you for the hidden miracles that are going on and we don't even realize. We just understand the Holy Spirit is a magnificent person who walks among us, talks to us, calls us his own. Thank you for the youth and their chance to get away and grow in the Spirit. Thank you for the things that will be happening here in the days ahead. And send a blessing on us that truly this day we might realize once again that we're blessed, but only to be a blessing. Come now and walk among us as we study your word. In Christ's name, amen. Today we're looking at Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, just one verse. But you need to understand that Luke is a storyteller for storytellers. And he tells the whole story. And he is somebody who has written in such a way that he kind of gets your attention. It's kind of the underlying themes of the book. You know, you get caught up in a book or reading something and it's the underlying themes of integrity or trust or love or revelation that really comes through. There's an underlying theme here that we'll talk about in a moment. I was thinking this week, I was as I was reading through Luke, my wife loves to read Amish books. And she's got more Amish books than Amish. We've got a whole library of those things. And there's a group of ladies that get together about once every 3 months, and they exchange books. And so yesterday was the exchange book day. And, of course, she couldn't be home, so I had to take her little bag of her books and meet one of another lady and exchange them in the parking lot. So I pull in the parking lot, and she pulls in, and she pulls out her bag and gives it to me, and I give them my. I'm thinking, you know, we live in a time of great surveillance. And I'm wondering how many policemen are watching us exchange these little canvas bags. And I had a notion to hold it up in the air and go, it's books, it's books. Of course, I didn't, but it's interesting. You know, your thinking process changes when you know you're being watched. And that's what the scripture is telling us today. It's reminding us that there's something kind of exciting happening here. And we need to understand it. It's repeated also in Matthew, but here it's very basic. Excuse me. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Interesting. A very short group of words, but a very powerful group of words as well. Because it reminds us that we have responsibility and we have to be credible in the way we live our life. Too many people forget that. Too many people like to kind of exercise themselves in excuses. And I've heard a lot of excuses, especially if you call on somebody and say, hey, I missed you in church on Sunday. Well, you'll hear every, matter of fact, most pastors now, we just, you know, set them aside with a number. You know, I called John yesterday. He's number 14. That means he didn't want to get out of bed. Or I called Susie's family yesterday, and she's number 17, which means that she didn't get home till late, and we don't even bother explaining anymore. We master in excuses, and then we as church members facilitate that and allow people to get away with it. I remember I had a Sunday school teacher, Tommy Boylan's dad. I really liked him. He was a big old guy. I remember him because he was the first guy I ever met that had a plate in his head. And he would remind us, don't make me mad because I got a plate in my head. You can't hurt me. And he was a big guy, and he would talk about excuses for not coming to Sunday school. He scared me to death. So I'd never miss Sunday school because I was afraid that Mr. Boylan show up my house. And I can put up with him, but I couldn't put up with my mama. So I would always go to Sunday school. Now, sometimes I would get lost between Sunday school and church, but I always showed up for Sunday school out of fear. Now, I guess that's okay. I know people who've gotten saved because they're afraid of hell, so I guess it's okay to be afraid of Tommy Boylan's dad. But it's kind of interesting. We're really good at making up excuses. I'm reminded of a story of a little boy who came home and gave his daddy his report card. And his dad looked at his report card and kind of shook his head, was very disappointed. And the little boy understood what was going on. And he said, well, Dad, what do you think? Is it hereditary or is it environment? And the father just looked at him because he was finding an excuse to get out of the responsibility that all of us have when we're going to school. It's important that we don't major on excuses, that we stand up for what we believe and understand that if there's mistakes made, we have to own them. And that's very hard in our culture. You know, if you're not sure this is true, just turn on the evening news and see who's making excuses for everyone else. You know, I'm to the point now that I hardly watch the news. Because it's someone making another excuse. It doesn't make any difference what party you're in. It doesn't make any difference what subject you're dealing with. You know, just make excuses. And I've also found that most of our nation is biblically illiterate. They just don't understand scriptures, nor do they want to take time to understand scripture. And it's kind of interesting to get into what I call Hardy's arguments. We have a group of men that meet every other day for coffee at Hardy's restaurant. And so I went down the other day, one of our compatriots is in the hospital, and I went down to see. I like going to meet with these guys because I'm the youngest pup there. You know, they average about 92 years of age. And we were talking about Fred. Fred's back in the hospital, David. Well, I knew that. He's my next door neighbor. Well, what are we going to do? Well, guys, you know, there's nothing we can do about Fred. We can pray for him. But the other thing is, this past week, one of the ladies that worked there, she passed away. She was in an accident and drowned. And so we started talking about that. Her dad was taking her to work. She was 18. And they went off the road and went into the river, and both of them drowned. And I had to participate in that service. And we got to talk about it with those old greasers back there in the corner. You know, what about her? Should we pray for the family? Okay, we'll pray for the family. So guess who had to pray for the family and around that table? So I did, and then at the end I said, guys, it's easy just to pray for somebody. Why don't we give them some money? Oh, I didn't like that too well. I mean, these are the guys that fight over the senior coffee prices. But I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go get a basket, and we're going to put it out here. And if anybody wants to give some money, let's give it to the family, and I'll see that the Smiths get it. It was interesting to watch them. They weren't used to that challenge. And they had all kinds of excuses not to do anything. Well, the insurance should take care of it. Well, they didn't have much insurance. Well, you know, the restaurant should have a special night that they raise money for. Well, yeah, that's true, and they may do that. But the point is, it was our excuse not to give money. And all of a sudden, we didn't have an excuse. We were faced with the reality of acting out that good nature that we say we have. That's what the scriptures are reminding us. That indeed, there's something about responsibility. There's something about stewardship. There's something about decisions that need to be made and following through on decisions. Each of us determines what significance we're going to make. With the attitude we have, the goals we seek, the decisions we make, the loyalties to which we give our energy and our attention, and many times we just forget that. I was in a stewardship conference several years ago, and the gentleman doing the conference said, how do you spend your money? What's the responsibility you have to spend your money as Christ would have you do it? And people were saying this and we were saying that. He said, I can tell you exactly how everyone in this room spends your money. Get your checkbook out and look at it. That's your priorities. That's how you live your life. And that's so true. Sometimes we don't want to challenge one another to do that. It's difficult for us. All of us have great responsibilities. But also we are filled with integrity. That we need to make sure the things that are spiritual are done. The things that are a necessity are accomplished. And that's important. I always reminded my boys that anytime they had a job, that they needed to put in a tithe when we would go to church. And they did. The only problem is they grew up, they made a lot more money, and they still put in a dollar a week. And I said, no, wait a minute, guys. You've grown. Your salaries have grown. You got to put in more a dollar a week. And they do. But I had to challenge them on it. I remember visiting one of our ladies. We were having a stewardship campaign. Boy, I tell you, if you want to drive your pastor nuts, have a stewardship campaign. And you go visit everybody and you take a pledge card with you. And so I went to visit. This lady was there welcoming me. She said, thank you for coming. And we'd explained to them why we were going to be there. And she said, well, I'll make my pledge out. She said, I want to give a dollar a week. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, well, okay, thank you. And she said, you know, all my life, I've given a dollar a week. What do you think about that? And I said, well, do you get Social Security? Oh, yes, I do. Matter of fact, I got a raise this year. I said, great. Did you raise your tithe? No, I give a dollar a week. Oh, well, did your husband, who's gone, did he give to the church? No, he didn't believe in that. We gave a dollar a week. But you can always depend on that dollar a week. I said, yeah, that's true. And then I whipped out my little government draft I used to, and showed her how much a dollar in 1930 is worth today. I said, so you're not giving a dollar a week. You're giving about 20 cents. And she was, at first she was offended. And then she said, you're exactly right. You know, we forget that the church has bills. The church has things that have to be paid. This coming weekend, well, two weekends in February, first Saturday in February, we have our officers training at Parchment Valley. And people come to that, and if you don't have anyone going, you can pick up a West Virginia Baptist magazine in the back there and sign up for it. It's really a good experience. I plan to go. There's a new ministry they're introducing. I don't want to see what's going on. It's called Workplace Faith, and that's important. But in it, we have all these classes, and we provide for you lunch. And the price is always $15. Now, personally, I think that's a pretty good deal. Of course, I was on the other end where I had to figure out how to feed 500 people on $15 a piece, which we still do and we still will. But the point is, I've had people would come to me and say, well, I'm not going to that. It costs too much. Have you gone to the movies lately? Have you gone grocery shopping lately? You know, that's really a deal. Also, by the way, one of the biggest response we had is the one on security. State police will be there and talk about security in your building. And all these things are free, and you get a lot of information to bring back and share. Plus, it's good to hear a speaker and music and all kinds of neat things going on. So I invite you to Parchment Valley in February. It starts at 9 o'clock on a Saturday, and we'll have you out of there about 4. But the important thing is, the knowledge base. You get to learn. And you're responsible as a Christian to learn more and more and more about your faith. And that's what I challenge you to do today. To make sure life's worth living. That no one can shape or guarantee your meaning of life. You have to do it. It's up to you to do that. And years ago I mentioned that to someone and they said, well, you know, I just get tired of fighting the devil. Well, I'm silly enough to believe in the devil. I'm silly enough to believe in hell. I'm also silly enough to believe that every morning when you get up, the devil casts a vote against you. And God casts a vote for you. Who breaks the tie? You do. You have to decide. Life is a decision. Life is worth living if you're in control with the good Lord saying, guide me. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. It's just not a song to sing. It's a life to live. That people know who you are and what you're trying to do. Again, the scripture is very plain. He who is faithful in the least is faithful in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. That's the nature of who we are. But we need to be better stewards. We need to be more responsible. We need to understand those things that are very important. Luke was an interesting guy. And if you get a chance to read more of it today, please do that. It's kind of interesting because he touches on the nerve of how to live your life. And that's what people want to know. How do we live our lives? How can we make a difference in this time? You follow the good Lord. You do what he wants you to do. And the exciting things will happen. You know, I really have found through the years, there's a lot of people can give you good advice. There's a lot of directions you can go to get advice. But the best thing you can have is this book, the Holy Bible. I love it. I see that some of our state congressmen and senators are trying to get Bibles back in the schools as a class. And, you know, it's interesting. My kids went through public schools, and this was never out of their reach at home. And I always felt it was my responsibility to teach it to them at home. And now that my kids are adult and have kids of their own, they feel the same way. It doesn't make any difference what the schools do. The best school's at home. And then we teach them this holy word. And that's important. I remember all the years in Shady Spring High School. I was a trainer and worked with the young men and some of the young ladies there. And we would get together on Friday and have prayer. They didn't have to come. They didn't have to do anything. I would just kneel down in the end zone and pray. And I watched that grow and grow and grow. I remember when the school board in Raleigh County said, you can't pray. I said, okay. Civil disobedience, we'll pray anyway. And we did. No one said a word. I remember being invited back to my kids' grade school classes at Jen Elementary School. And they, one thing they wanted me to do, to come to the Christmas party and tell them the Christmas story. I did that every year for 15 years. I wasn't arrested. No one threw me out. No one hurt my kids. You know, they invited me and I went and it worked. You know, we are so timid. Stand up for the Lord. Make a decision for Him. And make sure everybody understands it's time for us. Because it's up to us. If we don't do it, no one else will. If we don't stand on this word, no one else will. It's up to you. Will you do it? Please do. Pray with me, please. Father, as we close our service, we need to understand that we need friends in this world. The greatest friend we have is Jesus. We're going to sing about Him in just a moment. Maybe there's someone here that really doesn't know Him. Well, they know about Him, or they've gone through the motions of being a part of His kingdom. But we just pray that in the hours ahead, they'll come to wrestle with their decision to follow Him. And if they'd make that decision today, we give them that opportunity at the end of our service today, right now, to show others they love Him. Yeah, it's up to us. And we have been blessed with a little. Now we have the challenge of a lot. We need to make a difference. We can, we will, and together we should. Now may Your grace be completed in us. And any decisions, publicly or privately, that are made today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. With that in your mind and your heart and your spirit, go out that door and make a difference. Father God, send a blessing on us this day. Not that we deserve it, but that we want to serve You in a more powerful and direct way. Come and walk among us, and may Your grace be completed. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. And all of God's people said,